Okay, so let's look at the second teaching today. Will be the healing power of forgiveness. Okay. So before we actually go to the scripture, because we want to look at a story that Jesus told, a parable that he told to look at, understand forgiveness. Let's look at the opening kind of notes here. So forgiveness is at the heart of the gospel. Jesus came to forgive. He came into the world to become the sacrificial lamb. The whole sacrificial system of Israel was rooted in the idea of atoning for the sins of the people. Jesus becomes the fulfillment of that sacrificial system at the cross and his resurrection. It was mentioned often by Jesus Christ himself. We say it all the time in the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." He obviously thought it was really important. When they asked him, "Teach us how to pray," that was right in there. So the beginning of healing is forgiveness, and unforgiveness can block the healing process. We'd like to stress this to you, going back to the past seminar and the one looking in March, is that a lot of times physical healing can be blocked because a person is harboring resentment, unforgiveness in their life. Forgiveness of others is a key to releasing healing into different parts of our life. Forgiveness is not only crucial to ministry, but to one's own personal healing and transformation. And moving forward towards this transformation, any patterns in the family tree can be prevented by forgiveness too. So for example, we talk a lot about healing family generations and that certain dysfunctions or sin patterns get passed down. Well, forgiveness of those who've gone before us can go a long way to curbing that in the current generation. The church is strong on forgiveness. We talk about that. If you're Catholic background, second reconciliation obviously comes to mind. But we're oftentimes weak on practical instruction on how to do this. So we're going to get into the practical instruction today about that. So when we do not forgive someone, we become bound to them. I don't know if we realize that. That we are bound emotionally, physically, sometimes spiritually to a person through holding on to resentments. When we pray for our enemies, we begin to love them, and forgiveness is a process. So when we think about forgiveness, then think of it as a process. I like to compare it to peeling onions, okay? So as we do it, we cry through it somewhat. Okay, so, all right. The act of forgiveness offends our sense of fairness. We'll talk about that in a little bit here, but it really gets at us to forgive somebody else, so it's always going to be something of a hurdle for us. But that's okay. The Lord is prepared to help us in that hurdle. Okay. Jesus Christ is the best illustration of living at a high level of forgiveness in the face of personal offense, right? He was on a cross. They were putting him to death. And he was the most innocent person in the whole wide world. He did nothing wrong. And what does he say? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Forgiveness then is distinct from the legal pardoning act of justice. I'll touch on that in just a minute here. And sometimes there's confusion about that. And forgiveness requires us to be touched by the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Forgiveness is not a natural thing for us to do. We require the Holy Spirit to empower us with his grace to forgive someone else. So we definitely need his help, his power, his strength. That's why we talk a lot about the Holy Spirit here. We talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, whatever words you want to use, but the fact is we say we need more of the Holy Spirit. One of the reasons why we need more of the Holy Spirit and his power is because to be able to live in forgiveness and do that consistently, so my heart's free, I need his power and grace to do that. Okay, so this is not found on your notes, but I want to clear up a couple myths regarding forgiveness before we get into the scripture. Sometimes people will say things like this: "I'll forgive that person if they apologize." Okay, and that actually is an impediment to being able to forgive, to being able to be free. Forgiveness is unconditional. We do it regardless of whether the person says I'm sorry or not, or they even know about it, you know, or aware of it. If we have to wait for the other person to say, "I'm sorry," then it's not really forgiveness coming from us. That's more like bargaining. Okay. Secondly, some people think if I forgive that person, I minimize the offense. We actually think just the opposite. But when we forgive a person, we highlight the offense. That if we, it's, we don't sweep the offense under the rug. We don't try to say, well, it wasn't a big deal. It was a big deal, you know. If we say it wasn't a big deal, we actually cheapen forgiveness. Forgiveness is always big stuff. It's always a big thing to do. So whatever the offense is, we don't try to minimize it. Therefore, forgiving a person is a big deal, a big step for us to do. Sometimes people think, a third myth is sometimes people think that if I forgive that person, I have to go back into the relationship. Actually, no, they're two different things. Forgiving a person doesn't mean resuming maybe a relationship that's abusive, for example. There has to be on the person's part some definitive acts of repentance that show signs in the fruits of repentance. They're changing, want to change, and they're willing to change. So there's a difference between forgiving a person and actually re-entering a relationship that wasn't healthy to begin with. We distinguish the two. Forgiveness is about you getting free. What steps you need to take to restore the relationship depends upon the nature of the offense. Okay. And sometimes people will say things like this. Forgive means forgetting what took place. Or you've heard the phrase, forgive and forget, right? Actually, we don't believe you can do that. That's not humanly possible to forget, okay? We rather say this, we don't want you to forget. What we want you to do is forgive and see what God does to change the circumstance and situation first, beginning in your own life and your own heart. So that when you remember the circumstance and remember the hurt of it, we remember how you forgave that person and how the Lord worked in that situation to turn it around for you and perhaps for the other person. Depends upon their openness to Him. So we don't want you to forget. We want you to forgive and see what good the Lord brings out of the situation. Okay. All right. So I just want to clear up some of that, because sometimes when we hear about forgiveness, we think, oh, it's, you know, we either minimize the hurt or the offense, or we think, oh, I guess I have to go back into that relationship and all those things. So, all right. So let's go to Matthew chapter 18. Jesus tells this parable, the story on, yes, Ed, yes. Yes, yes. Yeah, again, a person may need to go and seek out some kind of restitution, for example. That's different from forgiveness, right? Yeah. Okay, Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Jesus tells parables about forgiveness frequently. In the New Testament, epistles like Paul's letters to Ephesians, Colossians, he talks a lot about forgiveness as well. So let's take a look here, verse 21. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times. Now, actually, in Jewish law, it said that you're supposed to forgive a person three times. After that, it was open season on them. Okay. So in Peter's mind, he's thinking seven times. That's twice what the law requires. Look at me, Lord. You know, I'm doing twice what I should be doing. And Jesus says to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven, an infinite number of times is what that means. So then he goes to tell the parable, the story. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the reckoning, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, 10,000 talents is like the national debt, okay? So there was no way this guy was going to repay or pay back anything to the king. So he could not pay his Lord ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. Out of pity for him, the Lord of that servant released him and forgave the debt. So here's the king who is owed basically the national debt by this guy. And the penalty for it is imprisonment for his whole family. In fact, his family would have been sold into slavery, actually. But the king is merciful, and the king shows mercy, and he actually writes off the whole national debt. He writes the whole thing off. Okay, but the same servant, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Okay, so if this guy owed the national debt and got it written off, this guy owed him probably a couple $1,000s. So the contrast by Jesus is there to exaggerate what's the heart condition between the king and the servant that he forgave. Okay. So, and seizing him by the throat said, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." So the guy is asking for mercy. And this is what the servant who was forgiven the national debt, how he responded. He refused and went and put him in prison till he should pay the debt. So he took people under him. He actually imprisoned them and had the power to probably sell his family into slavery. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their Lord all that had taken place. Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I have had mercy on you?" And in anger, his Lord delivered him over to the jailers till he should pay all his debt. And so my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Okay, so the servant who did not forgive is the servant who is end up being put in jail. Again, Jesus is not interested in what happens to this guy in the legal system of that day. What he's trying to indicate is that unforgiveness is its own imprisonment of the person. Okay, so let's take a look at this. Let's turn over, if you would, some principles of forgiveness. Why we find it difficult to forgive. First of all, our fallen nature, we find it difficult to forgive. We just, by our nature as fallen from the grace the Lord intended for us to live in perfect harmony and relationship with him, we have built into us this pride that really inhibits us and makes it difficult to want us to forgive a person, particularly those who have hurt us. This is baptism brings us into the body of Christ. Baptism forgives us the original injustice done to God. But the church has always been clear that we need to have our natures transformed by his grace and become the new creation that he made us to be through the waters of baptism. Our fallen nature works against that. And so unforgiveness in our hearts, wanting to retaliate, take revenge, resent, holding on to grudges, is kind of almost like an emotionally built-in high for us at times. There's something we get from holding on to resentments and grudges in an emotional sense. Now, it's terribly wounding to us and terribly, it makes us sick, but there's something about it that we gravitate to. And so to forgive means to work against all that nature in us. Second thing is we absorb generational patterns of revenge in our families. I grew up in families where, I remember hearing my aunts and uncles talking about how they were hurt by so-and-so and being very angry with them. And I grew up hearing all that, and kind of like, it almost, I just kind of like osmosis, it kind of just became part of me, And you hear it enough, you begin to think it's almost like the natural way to relate, So sometimes we have to work against those things too. A third thing is we think forgiveness is a feeling. I forgive the person because there's a certain sense of feeling like maybe I should, or I feel a sense of warmness towards that person, or I feel a sense of pity or mercy towards them. And we're going to see forgiveness has nothing to do with feeling. It's a decision we make out of obedience to the Lord, to what he's asked us to do. our feelings are not always good barometers of what we should be doing. So, but obedience to the Lord, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We think forgiveness, number four, overlooks justice, as I mentioned in Ed's question. There's a distinction there between seeking restitution of some kind and forgiving a person. They're different. We may have to, first of all, forgive a person, but we may need to go seek restitution. Two different things. And then in our culture, to forgive someone we think is weak. You know, the macho image, right? I'm not going to forgive that person because they may take advantage of me if I do, or they may think I'm weak. Again, the perfect person we have who's forgiven is Jesus. You know, no one, I think, would call him weak in any sense. Okay, so let's, before we go to letter B, let's just talk about where forgiveness comes from. First of all, forgiveness comes from the cross of Jesus Christ, our forgiveness. In the parable that Jesus is told, the king is the father, who his creation owed him perfect love, obedience, trust to him. Yet his creation didn't give him that. That's the servant, right? The servant owed the debt. What was the debt? The debt was to love the father perfectly, to obey him, to trust him. And as a result of that, the servant owed the father that and could not provide it. So what does the king do? He forgives. He wipes the debt away. How does God the Father wipe the debt away? Through the cross of his son, Jesus. We'll look a little bit more at that this afternoon when we talk about the healing of the image of God in us. But forgiveness flows from the cross of Jesus. It's what he did for us. In that, the good news is if he had not done that, we would be still trapped and snared in our sin and the bondage of our sin, the darkness of it, the meaninglessness of it, the hopelessness of it, the alienation from God. It would trap us in that. But Jesus came and through forgiveness of his, with the sacrifice of his own life, is wipes away any debt and says, it's a new day, it's a new beginning, the slate is washed clean. You know, that's the source of forgiveness for us. It's important to understand that, because when we talk about the practicalities of how we forgive somebody, we always start with what the Lord has done for us at the cross. Okay, let's go to letter B here. When I pray for my enemy and bless those who curse me, I begin to love my enemy because the power of the Holy Spirit transforms my heart. I love what Pat says a lot of times. She says, when you have somebody it's difficult to forgive, she says, start praying for them. She says, one of two things will happen. Either you're going to stop praying and give up, or as you continue to pray for them, your heart will change towards them. You can't remain the same if you pray for that person and pray continuously and sustain your prayer towards them. So when we pray for those that have offended us or hurt us in some way, then we change, because the power of the Holy Spirit transforms my heart. So to refuse to forgive, I remain bound to the people who have hurt me. I'm bound emotionally and spiritually to that. I love what I heard someone told me a long time ago. They said that, and it was about my needing to forgive certain people in my life, and they said, you are sacrificing your future on the altars of your past, they said. The altars of my past were just that. They were the hurts, the wounds, and my refusal to forgive the people that hurt. And I was sacrificing moving into my future and seeing clearly my future, even seeing how the Lord was working in my life to prepare my future, because I was trapped in the past. I was trapped in the wounds of the past. I was sacrificing my future on the altars of my past. Number three, to pray for my enemies, so to forgive them and release them to God's care. Part of what I'm doing with those that offended me and hurt me is part of forgiveness is to release them to the Lord's care, to let him do with them as he pleases, that he would work in their life. Okay, as we mentioned, number four already, a major block to healing of past hurts, healing of physical healing, even at times, is unforgiveness. So even with a person who says, you know, I'm battling this in my life and or that physically, we always will end up talking about forgiveness. Is there anybody in your life you think you need to forgive? We want to get that cleared up out of the way right from the start. I think I shared this before. If not, I know in my homilies, I think I've done this. I remember at St. Philip Neri, we had prayer teams there, and I remember one day this lady after Mass came to one of the prayer teams, and she was suffering from upset stomachs and just a lot of stomach issues, and she went to doctors, and they couldn't really find anything really particular about it. And as one of the prayer teams was praying, they just got an intuition, a sense that, is there somebody you need to forgive in your life? And the person, this is the lady, said, yes, she said. And she said, well, the person praying for them said, when did you begin to feel these stomach issues? And she said, well, about a year or so ago. And the prayer team person said, what happened to you then? And she said, well, my sister and I had a big fight. And she sent me a letter that basically broke off the relationship. And in fact, the lady found out was actually carrying the letter in her pocketbook. She had been carrying it for a good part of the year. So she was led through forgiveness, and she came back. She was a member of that parish, St. Philip Neri. She came back to the prayer team a couple weeks later, and she said her stomach issues cleared up, and she contacted her sister for the first time in over a year. So again, this lady came seeking physical healing. Great, but sometimes it's blocked because of the unforgiveness in our life. Okay, what are some of the harmful effects of unforgiveness? Okay, sin by its nature separates us from God. So Jesus did indicate that, right? In the parable here, he said, look, if you don't forgive, my Heavenly Father won't forgive you. Does that mean that God has a grudge against us if we don't forgive people? No, what it's saying is that if I can't forgive somebody, I'm essentially blocking my heart from the ability to receive God's forgiveness into my life. So I'm separating myself from the Lord's offer forgiveness, which I don't know how you are. I need his forgiveness continuously, right? Because I sin continuously. So I want to keep my heart open to his forgiveness. I don't want anything blocking my heart from receiving his forgiveness because I need his forgiveness. You know? Also, unforgiveness imprisons the one who refused to forgive. This is particularly true when you're praying with people who have to forgive people who have died. That person's long out of their life, but yet it's almost like they're still living with them. You know, or I can't tell you a number of people I've met who've gone through divorces, and I said, well, they come to a point where they need to forgive their ex, but they act like their ex is still living with them, you know, because they're just living in this resentment and anger constant, daily, almost, you know. So unforgiveness imprisons us when we refuse to forgive. So I often say to people, if you don't want to forgive out of obedience to the Lord, forgive because it's expedient and wise to do so for your mental and emotional and spiritual health, you know. So to forgive then, to not forgive, we block the flow of the Lord's blessing, including his forgiveness. Number two is unforgiveness affects our physical health. It weakens our immune system. It can affect us in terms of heart disease and so on. Number three, emotional disturbances such as anxiety, mood swings can become part of our life when we live in constant unforgiveness and resentments towards people. Now, I'm talking about prolonged times of unforgiveness and resentment. So when we live in that over a prolonged period of time, it can affect us in our emotions. Number four is, this is something that Catholics, I think, are not too much aware of, and we hope to bring this awareness more in the year, particularly through the summer. Prolonged unforgiveness opens us up to demonic spirits that seek to oppress us and keep us bound and unfree. I don't think we realize the power of unforgiveness and what it does to open the world, our hearts up to the world of the demonic and basically non-physical, hostile spirits towards us. The Catholic tradition has always taught this. It may not always been taught contemporarily in the churches, but it's always part of our teaching, as well as the biblical revelation, that there are spiritual entities that seek on destroying us. One of the things they love to gravitate to is unforgiveness. Because when we think about it, Jesus at the cross forgave the human race for their offense against his Father. So what's the one thing they want to hold the human race into is unforgiveness, retaliation, revenge, right? And at the cross, Jesus forgave all that and made it possible for us to live in that. So what's the world of this demonic realm want to do? They want to keep us bound in retaliation, hostility, you know, resentments, and so on. We'll talk, if you're part of this parish, you'll hear more about this down the road through the summer. Number five is there is a vital relationship between body, soul, spirit, emotions. We had talked about this a lot last month. Yeah, we're connected, right? That my story with the lady at St. Philip Neri with the stomach ailments is a clear example of how her emotions affected by unforgiveness was affecting her physically. So we all know that, right? You have a conflict, an anger, a fight with maybe your spouse or a child, and what happens a little bit later on? You have a headache. So, okay, so we're connected, right? Body, soul, spirit. All right. Number six, resentment means to feel again. This keeps us in bondage to the past. So when you feel like you're living in a resentment, basically you're feeling again the hurt that was caused. And letter D, we make the decision to receive forgiveness and grace due to Christ's sacrifice on the cross. We make the human decision to forgive as an act of obedience to God's command. Jesus commanded us to forgive. Again, in the Lord's Prayer, which if you're Catholic, every day or every Sunday you come to Mass, we say it, right, in the liturgy. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So forgiveness is very much a part of the work of the cross in our own hearts. So it's like, Adam, is Adam here? I think there was somebody at the front door. So I think also, Kathy, I'll take questions in a minute. I think also, too, forgiving others is an act of obedience to the Lord. So when we forgive someone, even if I don't feel like it, and we'll talk about our feelings and how they play into that, what I'm doing is I'm obeying the Lord, even when I don't feel like it, even when I'm gritting my teeth. And sometimes we're gritting our teeth when we have to forgive somebody, but I'm doing it out of obedience to him. Okay, so conclusion here. When praying with someone who needs to forgive, this is like if you're ministering to them, we don't convict them of their unforgiveness. In other words, the Holy Spirit does that. So I don't try to impress upon a person, you know, that, you know, like a search and destroy mission, find out where they need to forgive somebody. The person will reveal that to us. Or sometimes in prayer, you might have an insight where you share that with a person and give them the freedom to say yes or no to that. Forgiveness of another is a process, though. It's like peeling an onion. It isn't a one-time deal. So we've prayed with people over a period of time. Soaking prayer that was mentioned earlier for healing the past hurts can come through forgiveness too. But the fruit of forgiveness will be a greater joy and peace in the person's heart, a greater freedom when they think about that event of that and that person who hurt them. They won't feel the resentment should be diminishing as they receive the prayer and act in forgiving. Now, one of the things I like to do with folks after we pray with them and minister to them, is, you know, in between time, maybe the next time they receive prayer, if they feel like they need that, is to say the Lord's Prayer three times a day. It was a practice in the very early church. It's found in what's a writings called the Didache, which means the teachings of the apostles. And what they did in their community was they prayed the Our Father three times a day. And when they got to the part where it says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive, they said, put somebody's name in there that you need to forgive. And so it's kind of like taking vitamins, you know, might say, or taking medicine, you know, taking your antibiotic. Pray the Lord's Prayer three times a day and keep putting that person's name in there. Okay, number four, if you look on the next page, a suggested practical way to forgive. Now, before we get into this, I love what St. Teresa of Avila said. She said that unforgiveness was the single most thing that kept her from union with God. And somebody asked her, said, well, what if I can't forgive the person? And she said, her response was, start where you can start. So if starting where you can start is simply saying, Lord, I know I should forgive this person, but I don't feel like it. I don't think I can. In fact, I really deep down, so I really don't want to, you know, she said that's a great place to start. because the Lord knows how to take you to the next place. And we often say that in prayer, we want honesty. If a person says, I don't think I can forgive this person at all, we say, that's fine. You know, if you're just willing to take one small step, that is, let us pray for you, okay? You'd be surprised what the Lord will do in your heart, because he can take you to the next step. That's what we mean by grace, by the way. It's the Lord giving to us what we cannot do in our own ability, our own selves. And remember we said earlier, forgiveness is not a natural thing for us to do. It requires supernatural grace and power to forgive. So let's take a look at some of this. This is, again, suggested way. First, receive the Lord's forgiveness for you for holding on to resentments. You know, holding on to resentments is a sin, and we need to ask the Lord for forgiveness for that. So that's where I will go to the cross and say, Lord, you know, this is what you did for me at the cross, right? And I repent of my resentments, my grudges, my bitterness towards that person, my acts of retaliation. Even if I didn't physically act out, in my mind, I created all these movie scripts of how to take revenge, right? And I need to ask for forgiveness for that. So first, I need to receive, ask for and receive the Lord's forgiveness. Second thing is, I present the person to the Lord in prayer. I acknowledge the hurt. I try to be as honest as I can before the Lord. And if you're if you're praying with a person, we don't force the honesty. We just say, just simply express the hurt, whatever that is. We find that as they continue to receive prayer in that area, they become more honest with the hurt, you know. So they'll say something like this, Lord, I forgive this person, and maybe mention just their first name, what they did, and mention specifically what they did. We find that it's helpful to mention specifically because the hurt is specific to them, is particular to them. The forgiveness that they're asking for is particular to the person they need to forgive. And then we ask the person to bless them with good things. I practice this a lot. So I think of all the good things that can happen to them. And believe me, I'm gritting my teeth through this, okay, a lot of times. This is not easy. But, you know, Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 5 on the Sermon on the Mount, he talked about the Father's blessing coming upon the just and the unjust, right? So what I'm doing is say, Lord, bless them in their work, bless them in their relationships, make them prosper in their jobs and their finances, give them good health, you know, all these things. Basically, I would want those things too, you know. So I'm asking the Lord to bless them with every good thing. Again, it may feel like it's contrived, doesn't feel like it's authentic, but what it's doing is attempting to do what the Father wants to do for that person, is to bless them, you know. So I'm trying to act like my Heavenly Father in blessing them. I don't have to have my feelings all chummy towards them, okay? All I need to do is obey the Lord and do what he would do, which is to bless them. And then I ask the Lord to heal my hurt, you know. And again, this is where people praying with you, ministering to you, for example, is wonderful because they can begin to pray for the healing of those hurts, those past hurts in your life. And then I thank the Lord for what he's doing. So I conclude the prayer in my personal way for myself, but also we encourage people just to begin thanking the Lord for what he's begun to do in your life. Okay. Oftentimes, if you're coming from a Catholic background, what I'll do is encourage people as they go to the Eucharistic table of the Lord and receive Jesus in the Eucharist. I'll say, as you come to the Eucharist, I said, you and you're holding on to an area of resentments and bitterness, and you just find it difficult to let go of that. I said, come before the Lord. I said, he's going to give you himself. You give him that person and all the wounds and hurts and frustrations in your life regarding that. You give him that, and then you receive him into your life for your cleansing and healing and the grace to be able to do what you can't do, which is to forgive that person. So I ask them to make the Eucharist a place for that as well. Okay, let's take about 15 minutes before lunch, and I'm just going to ask you to talk about in your group whatever spoke to you, what impressed you upon in this area, this whole area of forgiveness.